yesterday's press, and at 0215, the music business. This is London.
The American space shuttle Challenger exploded about a minute after it was launched yesterday, and all seven crew are assumed to have died. President Reagan said the United States was in mourning, but the space program would continue. There is to be a referendum in Denmark which could decide whether the country remains part of the European community. Soviet leader Mr. Gorbachev has described the American space defense project as an illusion. The American space shuttle Challenger blew up about a minute after being launched from Cape Canaveral in Florida yesterday. All seven crew on board are assumed to have been killed. Challenger exploded in a huge ball of fire as it arched towards orbit over the Atlantic about 10 miles above the Earth. Its rocket boosters were blown away from the spacecraft and veered off out of control. Fragments of debris rained down into the sea over an area about 9 miles from the launch site and prevented recovery ships and aircraft from approaching the scene for about an hour. Some wreckage was later discovered, but there was no evidence of any survivors. The disaster was the worst since manned space exploration began in 1961. In 1967, three American astronauts died when the Apollo moon capsule caught fire on the launch pad. The space authorities have suspended the present series of shuttle flights pending an investigation. For the time being, they refuse to speculate on the cause of the accident. President Reagan postponed his annual State of the Union speech to Congress because of the accident and instead broadcast a special message in which he said the whole country was mourning seven heroes. The crew of Challenger, he said, were pioneers in space. He praised their courage and expressed sympathy for their families. He said he shared with all Americans what was a truly national loss, and declared that the American space program would continue. There would later be more shuttle flights. In London, the Queen said she was shocked and saddened by the disaster. And a Soviet representative in New York expressed deep sympathy for the families of the crew. The Russians themselves have lost four cosmonauts in space flights. Challenger was making the 25th flight in the American shuttle program. It was to have made an intensive scrutiny of Halley's Comet and launched a relay and tracking satellite. The crew was led by Navy Commander Dick Scobie, and also included the first private citizen to join an American space crew, Christa McAuliffe, who was chosen from more than 11,000 applicants. Mrs. McAuliffe, a school teacher, was to have taken part in two 15-minute lessons to millions of students in the United States and Canada. Denmark is to hold a referendum to decide whether it should accept a series of reforms in the European community agreed to by all other members. The vote for a referendum was taken in the Danish parliament after the minority government failed to persuade other EEC countries that the reforms should be renegotiated. The Danish parliament objects to the reforms which, among other things, widen the powers of the European Parliament on the grounds that they would infringe its national sovereignty. The Prime Minister, Mr. Poul Schlüter, said if the referendum rejected the reforms, it would mean Denmark's eventual withdrawal from the community. The referendum is likely to be held at the end of February. The Soviet leader, Mr. Gorbachev, has again criticized the United States program of research into a system of defense in space. Speaking at a dinner in Moscow in honor of the leader of the Italian Communist Party, Mr. Alessandro Natta, Mr. Gorbachev said it was an illusion to think one could create a universal space defense system. Mr. Gorbachev said the essence of the matter was that any space shield could be turned into a space sword. Mr. Gorbachev said the Soviet Union was in general satisfied with the reception given to its latest proposals for ending nuclear and chemical weapons. But he said one of the obstacles to disarmament was that people's thinking quickly became outdated in a rapidly changing world. The reality was that a world armed to the teeth in a nuclear age was unstable and fraught with the possibility of nuclear war, even if no one wanted it. Representatives of the United States and the Soviet Union have renewed negotiations in Geneva in an effort to achieve a ban on chemical weapons. The talks are the result of an agreement at last November's meeting between President Reagan and the Soviet leader, Mr. Gorbachev. The talks coincide with the reopening in Stockholm of the 35-nation conference on European security, where correspondents say there's also growing confidence that an agreement between the superpowers will be reached on measures to reduce the likelihood of war in Europe. The leader of the UNITA guerrilla movement in Angola, Mr. Jonas Savimbi, is in Washington at the start of a visit to the United States, during which he's to meet President Reagan and other government leaders. A correspondent for the BBC in Washington says the visit has led to a fierce public debate over the extent and form of aid which the United States should give to UNITA in its campaign against the Marxist government of Angola. It has been announced in Uganda that Mr. Yoweri Museveni, the leader of the National Resistance Army, which captured the capital Kampala at the weekend, will be sworn in as president today, Wednesday. Radio Uganda said the oath of office would be administered by the Chief Justice outside the Parliament building. Reports from Amritsar in the Indian state of Punjab say that heavily armed members of the paramilitary forces have taken up rooftop positions overlooking the Golden Temple complex, which was seized by hundreds of Sikh militants on Sunday. The paramilitary are reported to have set up sandbag fortifications. Hundreds of people were killed when the Indian Army stormed the complex in 1984 to evict extremists who had barricaded themselves inside. Additional security forces were moved into Amritsar at the weekend, and armed police now ring the complex at ground level. Moderates yesterday called for a Sikh convention to be held in Amritsar to discuss the situation. The Libyan leader, Colonel Gaddafi, has had talks in Algeria with President Chadli Benjedid. Libyan television says the Algerian leader expressed solidarity with Libya in the face of American naval maneuvers off the Libyan coast, which it says both leaders described as a threat to peace and security in the region. And now to end the news, here are the main points again. The American Space Shuttle Challenger exploded about a minute after being launched from Cape Canaveral yesterday. All seven crew are assumed to have died. The accident is the worst since manned space exploration began 25 years ago. President Reagan said the United States was in mourning, but the American space program would continue. The Danish Parliament has decided that there will be a referendum on reforms in the European Community, which have been accepted by all other members. The government says that the rejection of the reforms would mean Denmark eventually withdrawing from the community. The Soviet leader, Mr. Gorbachev, has again criticized the United States project for a system of defense in space. He said the idea of a universal space defense system was an illusion. That's the end of the news from London. BBC World Service. And now, a review of the British press. Every front page carries a picture of the American space shuttle Challenger exploding in a ball of fire shortly after being launched from Cape Canaveral, its rocket boosters twisting away from the falling debris. And the papers cover the disaster in detail on their front and inside pages. The Mirror, under the headline Grief of a Nation, says the disintegrating shuttle looked like some tragic dying swan etched vividly against the brilliant blue sky. The Financial Times says the explosion occurred at the moment when wind and other atmospheric conditions placed the greatest strain on the shuttle and when its engines were at maximum thrust. The Guardian reports on a theory that a bolt on the main fuel tank came loose and detonated an eruption which NASA scientists likened to a small nuclear explosion. Several papers note that the mission had become a big media event in the United States because it was to have taken the first private American citizen, Mrs. Christa McAuliffe, into space. They describe the hopes she had as a schoolteacher for the mission and her goal of demonstrating to the nation's youth that spaceflight would be within their grasp as adults. A number of papers comment in their editorial columns on the shuttle tragedy, and they agree it is a reminder that space is still on the frontiers of technology. The Daily Telegraph says that after so much experience and 25 successful missions, the flight of a space shuttle had come to seem a matter of routine. But yesterday's tragedy shows that man's conquest of space calls only to the brave. The Guardian agrees that there's an omnipresent risk to space flight. The paper says that in the immediate aftermath, only a fool draws detailed lessons. But it recalls that America's space program was spurred into life not by scientists, but by Washington's belief that the Soviet Union was about to seize a lead in space. The Guardian says that politicians may talk of some glowing future in which satellites and lasers can throw a gigantic umbrella of safety across a continent. But yesterday's trawl for debris off the coast of Florida is a tragic account of reality. The Daily Mail comments on the human tragedy of the disaster, and in particular, the poignant fate of Mrs. McAuliffe. Our hearts, the paper says, go out to the relatives, friends and colleagues of those intrepid space voyagers. Yet we can be sure they would not wish their deaths to paralyze the space program. The Pressman considers the presidential election in the Philippines. The paper says with 9 days to go before polling, the opposition leader, Mrs. Aquino, is posing a serious challenge to President Marcos. It says Mrs. Aquino has fought a lively campaign and has attracted huge crowds to all her rallies. But she still faces an uphill struggle. The Scotsman says that Mr. Marcos has money and a good deal of control over the media, while his opponents are physically intimidated. And there will be plenty of opportunity for ballot rigging on the day of election. The Scotsman points out that two of the United States' biggest overseas bases are in the Philippines, and comments that many in Washington consider that the American desire for stable government in Manila would be better protected if Mrs. Aquino won on February the 7th. The Guardian returns to what it describes as the basic issue behind the Westland affair in Britain, that is, whether Britain should allow her only sizable manufacturer of helicopters to become an associate of the American company Sikorsky, or whether it should try to link up with other European companies. The Guardian says it is in Europe's long-term interest to create a European capability and advanced technology to provide an effective third force alongside Japan and the United States. And a start must be made to prevent the ludicrous duplication of research across 12 European countries. The Guardian comments that Mr. Heseltine's intervention proves that the will to collaborate is there. His initiative, the paper says, will make the Westland affair a symbolic event long after the resignations of ministers have faded from memory. The Financial Times considers this week's meeting in Paris as the International Development Association, the IDA. The IDA is the arm of the World Bank, which provides loans on special terms to the world's poorest countries. The Financial Times says it deserves support because it's uniquely able to combine aid with the economic direction which poor countries need. It's especially appropriate for those African countries which, through drought and mismanagement, have seen their grain output fall steadily over the years. But the Financial Times fears that budget cuts in the United States may cut the organization's allocation of funds over the next 3 years. And that's the end of the press review from the BBC London.
BBC World Service.